Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At last, we have arrived at the festival of Pentecost. And it is rather late this year. It has been a long time coming. But this celebration is worth the wait. Pentecost is a major event in the life of the Christian church. And many even consider it to be the birthday of the church. Now, others love it because of the arrival of the Holy Spirit, who is often under-mentioned in Christian teaching and in preaching. And some Christians have even gone so far as to allow the specific events of that first Pentecost to inspire their beliefs and their practices as Christians. They announce then that speaking in tongues is the sure sign that a Christian is a Christian, and that they have the Holy Spirit. These Pentecostals have incorporated that special day even into their own name. And to be sure, the apostles of Jesus did speak in tongues on that day. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, equal with Father and Son, filled the apostles of Jesus as the sound of rushing wind entered the room and tongues as of fire rested upon them. And most notably, these Galilean men began to speak in tongues that they had never learned before. Instantly, without fail, communicating in foreign languages. Now, the foreign Jews who were in Jerusalem at that time were able to understand these words of the apostles. And what these apostles were speaking were the mighty works of God. Now, it is important to keep in mind and to note that none of this Pentecost celebration happened randomly or out of the blue. Instead, this day had already been prophesied to happen long ago and not so long ago. And what is often left out of this description of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit is the one who has made it all possible to happen. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and his work of salvation on the cross lay at the heart and core of Pentecost. If that is not the case, then Pentecost is pointless. And if Christ and his work of salvation is not at the heart of Pentecost, then this day is most certainly un-Christian. So where is Jesus in Pentecost? Well, he is the name by which the Father has sent the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 reminds us of this, as there in those words, Jesus encourages his disciples. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And we know that Jesus' name means salvation. It was proclaimed such at his birth, for he will save his people from their sins. That is what Jesus is all about. And the Holy Spirit, sent then in the name of Jesus by the Father, is done so for the sake of the gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit's work among us and among Jesus' disciples is to comfort. And the way in which the Holy Spirit does this, the way in which he comforts us, is through the proclamation of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection for sinners, for you as believers in Christ. And so it is as Jesus said, The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us of Christ through His church. Hence, what we do here each and every Sunday, to hear the gospel, to be reminded of Christ. And through the church and through her called pastors, the Holy Spirit then teaches us all things and keeps us mindful in our memory all of what Jesus has done and said. For He is the one who works faith in our hearts through the gospel. And without that Holy Spirit, without that third member of the Trinity working within us, we cannot confess Jesus as Lord and truly mean it, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. And without the Holy Spirit working within us, we could not believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to Him, as Martin Luther has made so clear in his explanation of the third article of the Creed. What comfort, and peace that gives to us to know, to be certain that the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, has worked to bring us to faith and is still working to keep us in the faith. He's active. He's present here now. No rushing wind, no tongues as of fire. And yet through the Word, He is active and present among you, keeping you steadfast in the faith. And you and I need the comfort that that gospel brings, that the Holy Spirit gives to us through the Word, just like the apostles needed that comfort. And we need this because of what this life has in store for us: sin, death, power of the devil, and our own cursed flesh. The devil is prowling around like a lion, seeking eagerly to devour someone, anyone, to take you away from Christ. His minions are also hard on the trail, and it is not hard for them to steer us into temptation. And left on our own, to our own devices, we would gladly give in to our sinful natures. For you need not look far into your own past to see just how true that is. All have vices, and you know how easy it is to let go and give in to them. And then along with that, you know how much guilt comes from those sins and the despair that that guilt causes. Where do we go? Where do we turn? For this reason, for you, God has sent the Holy Spirit. You are not left alone in your life as a Christian. The Holy Spirit remains in you because of your identity as a baptized child of God. You have been grafted into Christ, literally with Him as one. His righteousness is yours. He has taken your sins, your vices, into Himself. And they have all been nailed to the cross with Him. Jesus' precious blood has purified your own. His payment for your sins on the cross allows me to speak the word of forgiveness to you. And that word is not a general abstract word about forgiveness. It is not a word that points you to a forgiveness that will someday happen in the future. But that word that I speak gives you the forgiveness that Christ has won for you. That word of absolution gives you forgiveness. of all your sins. I forgive you all your sins in the name of Christ. That's it. It's done. Your sins are forgiven. You can rest assured in that. And that very proclamation of the gospel, of the forgiveness of sins in Christ, is the living water of which Jesus himself speaks. As we have heard in John's gospel, that word of Christ's forgiveness is what quenches the thirst of your soul. That word is the living water that Christ offers to you and to all people readily and freely. So drink it up. Drink in that word. Hear it and believe it. That word gives you the power to do just that. The power to believe what Christ has done. For that word is not an empty word, but that word bears with it the Holy Spirit, the great third power of the Holy Trinity. And that word of Christ has created faith in you, trust in yourself to hold on to Christ. And that word of Christ sustains the faith he has given you. It keeps you steadfast, trusting in him for salvation. And that word is the tool, the object the Holy Spirit uses to do all these miraculous things. He has first come to you and has rested upon you in the waters of baptism, as plain as that may seem. And there you have been cleansed from your sin. The Spirit comes to you continually in the word of Christ. For that word is Spirit and truth. And the Spirit comes to you. He brings you the very body and blood of Christ in the bread and wine for the forgiveness of all your sins. And so it is. And there we have it. That Pentecost is rooted in Jesus alone. He is the heart of this great festival day. And whatever speaking in tongues was done was to proclaim Christ and him crucified, as Peter does go on to do very boldly in the continuation of Acts chapter 2. And whatever the church does, and whatever the church is about in its life here in this earth, is to be rooted in Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners. It is in his precious name that the Spirit has been sent to you. It is in his holy name that we celebrate this most high holy day. And it is in his name, the name of Jesus, that we are forgiven. In his name. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Jesus until his return. Amen.